Once again, God has allowed us to come and to learn more about his word that we may grow thereby. I'm thankful for the congregation here, the Shenandoah Church of Christ, her elders. I'm thankful for the invitation, which was by my dear friend and mentor, Brother Don Walker. Brother Don and I have grown close in the last 3 to 4 years, and I'm thankful for him as a gospel preacher. I'm thankful for my wife who supports me in this endeavor, and my family as well. It's good to see my fellow preacher, Brother Frederick Starks, Brother Brian Cadena. I'm thankful for them for coming and supporting the gospel of Jesus the Christ. I would be amiss if I didn't mention my mother and my sister, who I have high respect for, who are here on this morning. I'm thankful that they're here as well. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What a powerful verse, as David, the psalmist, gives us an idea of the attitude of a fool. When we look at man, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse number 26, God created man in his own image and after his own likeness. It was at this time man was at his pinnacle. He was sinless in the eyesight of God. But we notice as man lived on, his deeds became more evil and evil as time went on. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 29, God made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. God created man to be devoted to him, to worship him, to honor him, to reverence him. However, man has deviated from the plan of God and now consulted his own will. It was at this time man thought that he was his own God and governed his own life. This attitude has caused many to go astray from the Lord, and ultimately they will be lost throughout eternity. David, that sweet singer of Israel, realize that all men were not like as he was. All men didn't reverence God, didn't devote themselves to God, didn't honor God like he did. And no wonder Luke said in Acts 13 in verse number 22 that David was a man after God's own heart. David, he relied on God. He trusted in God. He talked to God. When David was in distress, he called on God. Psalm 4 and verse number 1. In times of solitude, David called on God. Psalm 5 and verse number 1. In times of quietness, David meditated upon the word of God. Psalm 1 and verse 1. When David sinned against God, he pleaded with God for forgiveness, Psalm 6 and verse number 1. And no wonder when he speaks out in Psalm 14 and verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He must have been distressed. He must have been troubled because of the honor and the respect and the reverence that he has for God. And man has the audacity to think in his heart that God doesn't exist. David, I don't believe, was disturbed because of man's lack of knowledge of God, but because of man's lack of character and morality that he displayed in his life. It was David that saw the work of God and knew the awesome power of God and his awesome authority that he had over his own life. When we look at Psalm 14 in verse number 1, two things I want us to look at as relates to the background. And as I was looking at this background, I wasn't absolutely sure where David was when he wrote these things and what he meant when he said certain things. But some commentators, some scholars say that David was speaking of Israel when they were in Babylonian captivity. And as they looked at the Babylonians and how they lived their life of degradation, how they lived the life of sin, and even those of Israel took part in some of their sin. Maybe David was talking about that. One scholar said that he was possibly running from his son Absalom and saw the attitude of his son and said that in his heart there is no God. It really doesn't matter. But what does matter is David realized that men were not acting in accordance to God's will. There are some things we want to look at. I want us to look at the term the fool. Then I want us to look at a couple phrases. And really, the only thing we have time for this morning is verse number 1. I want us to look at the fool has said in his heart, number 2. And the last phrase, there is no God. The word fool, let us notice the fool. In this context comes from the Hebrew word naval. This word means stupid, wicked, foolish, vile. It also carries the idea to disrespect, to be irreverent. Find that in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 6, Psalm 53 and verse number 1, Proverbs 17 and verse 17, Proverbs 30 and verse number 22, and Jeremiah 17 and verse number 11. The word Nabal is not used many times in the Old Testament. However, many words derived from this word fool and is also translated as such. We see the word used in 1 Samuel 25 and verse number 3. You remember the story when David went to Nabal and he needed some provisions to carry out in his journey. You remember that story? He needed some provisions and he petitioned Nabal, the fool. And it's amazing that his name means fool. He petitioned him for food and he was denied of those things. And you remember who had to come to their rescue. It was Abigail, one who had sense. There are other words translated fool. One found in 1 Samuel 26 and verse number 21. This word is sakal, which means to be silly. Kesil, to be stupid. Find this in Psalm 92 and verse 6. Proverbs 10, verse 8, and also verse 23. The word evil, to be perverse. Proverbs 7 and verse number 22. Proverbs 10, verse 8 and verse 10. And Proverbs 11 and verse number 29. But when we come to the New Testament, we see this word fool translated from the Greek word moras or moron, which means dull or stupid, to be a blockhead or headless, to be morally depraved. Find that in Matthew 5, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 3, and verse number 18. But then the Greek word aphron, to be mindless or stupid, ignorant, egotistic, rash, or morally unbelieving. Luke 12, and verse number 20. Brethren, let us not be mistaken that the fool is referring or that the psalmist is referring to the atheist. Even though he is not excluded, the psalmist is not directly talking about the atheist. He's talking about the one who is morally depraved in his lifestyle. Brothers and sisters, this could be children of God. This could be Christians in the Lord's church today. Jesus, I like what he says as relates to his disciples. He told his disciples in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, to observe what the Pharisees are saying, but do not follow the way they live. Isn't it ironic that David here is dealing with the character rather than the understanding of man? He's dealing with how man lives and not what a man knows. I'm amazed at what Brother Moore said yesterday, that we can have academic knowledge about God and his word, but if that academic knowledge is not applied in our lives, it's for naught. Jesus said himself in Luke 6 and verse number 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" God is looking for doers of his will, not just lips. Well, I like what Ederman's pulpit commentary says about how the psalmist is referring to the fool. He's referring to a person who is blinded by worldliness, besotted or infatuated with sin, who can see no charm in virtue, in moral excellence, no beauty in holiness, no loveliness, no grandeur, or no attractiveness to God's divine truth. Sounds like a fool to me. What a tragedy when men think that they can live a life of degradation, live a life of sin, and think that God is going to be in heaven and clap for them. God forbid. Well, let us notice number two. Let us notice the phrase has said in his heart. Look at where the fool in verse number one is carrying this discussion. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart. Brothers and sisters, this is not a head problem. It's a heart problem. And don't you know, sometimes we can have heart problems, but we think it's a head problem. According to Strong's, the Hebrew word is translated heart. That is translated heart in Psalm 14:1 is used figuratively, very widely used for the feeling, the will, and even the intellect of man. According to Nelson's Bible Dictionary, the heart is the inner self. It's the part of man that thinks, that feels, and that decides. In the Bible, when we look at the heart, it's used in a broader sense than the modern mind thinks. You must keep in mind that man is a tripartite being, meaning that he is body, soul, and spirit, according to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 23. Moses, led by the Holy Spirit, said the same sentiments in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is absolute. He's one. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and all of thy soul and all of thy strength." Jesus said the same thing when he was talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, as it relates to the great commandment. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and all of thy soul and all of thy mind. God wants all of us, brothers and sisters. He just doesn't want our lips, our mouth, but he wants us to live out the word of God. Fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." I like what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 21 through 24. He says, "Where your heart or your treasure is, your heart will be also." Remember what Jesus also said in Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. He says, "That which cometh out of a man, that defiles a man." And the first thing he says, my brothers and sisters, are evil thoughts. Now, when we look at that in the original language, it comes from the word dialogamos, evil dialogamos, meaning evil dialogue. It is something when man talks himself into doing that which is wrong. And that's what I believe David is saying. The fool is saying in his heart, he's talking to himself and he's telling himself that God doesn't exist. But no, the very fact that you're living a morally depraved life, you're saying God doesn't exist. That doesn't mean he doesn't. God exists regardless of if any man wants to believe it or not. God is supreme. God is sovereign. Whether I believe it or not, whether I preach it or not, whether you believe it or not, God is real. Well, when we think of evil dialogue, we think of talking oneself into that which is wrong, that which is against God's will. Have you ever heard the slogan, "Garbage in, garbage out"? Don't you know you can have godliness in and godliness out? Amen. Notice some things that man talks himself into today. He talks himself into sexual immorality, gambling, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism,
arrogancy, racism, idolatry, and the list goes on. But if brothers and sisters, if a man can talk himself into that which is wrong, he ought to be able to talk himself into that which is right. He can talk himself into sexual purity, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 4. He can talk himself into spending his money right instead of gambling it off, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2. He can talk himself into being monogamous, having one man and one woman. Don't you know, this time is out for men having multiple women, even in the Lord's church. If a man could talk himself into homosexuality and lesbianism, he ought to be able to talk himself into being heterosexual. If a man could talk himself into being arrogant, he ought to talk himself into being humble. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. If a man could talk himself into hating another man because of the color of his skin, then he ought to be able to talk himself into being impartial. James chapter 2 verses 1 through 8. If a man could talk himself or a woman can talk themselves into being an idolater, he ought to be able to talk himself with God's word into being a true worshiper of God. John 4, 23 and 24. The Bible is right. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Our hearts are important to God, and they ought to be important to us as well. You cannot get off into this world thinking that head knowledge is going to get you to heaven. Heart knowledge plus head knowledge is good before the eyesight of God. And you cannot have good heart knowledge if you don't know God's word. Time is out when men say that God is going to give me what he desires for me to have. The only way he's going to give it to you, you must study to show yourself approved unto God. You must search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. You must be like those of Berea that were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You got to study. You got to spend time in God's word. You have to meditate on God's word. You got to breathe and just really get into God's word. And get to know him. Get to know what God likes and get to know what he doesn't like. Oh, the heart is important to God, no doubt. The heart is so important to God that in Genesis 6 and verse number 5, God saw man's heart was evil continually. How did God know what was on man's heart? Because of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, for the Lord seeketh not as man seeketh, for the Lord looketh on the outward, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It is God that knows the heart of all men. The problem is we don't unless we see their fruit. Amen. Now the phrase, there is no God. We're going to look at the word God comes from the Hebrew word Elohim, which deals with the Godhead. It's a Hebrew word which expresses the concept of divinity. It's apparently related to the Hebrew word El, though morphologically it's consisted of his Hebrew word Eloah. With the plural suffix, Elohim is the third word in the Hebrew text of the book of Genesis. You remember, in the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God. And when we look at Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. There is no Godhead. How can a man live his life? How can a man fix his lips, fix his mouth to say that God doesn't exist? Brothers and sisters, the only way that man can say that God doesn't exist, he has to have some type of omniscience in him. He has to be God himself to say that God don't exist. Look at this. In order for a person to say that God doesn't exist, by default, he says, I am a God. The more and more I studied this, the more foolish it sounded. That man would put himself on a pedestal to think that he is somebody's God. That's my introduction. I got 3 points that I want us to look at, and it's in the text. I believe I have time to deal with it. I want us to look at, number one, the fearless fool. Then I want us to look at the focus of the fool. Then lastly, I want us to look at the fate of the fool. The psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. Brothers and sisters, the fearless fool, he is the one who lives his life as if God is not going to hold him accountable for his actions. We have inspired commentary on Psalm 14, verse number 1. When we go to Romans chapter 1, if you can, let us turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And we just want to look at some highlights as we study God's word on this morning. This inspired commentary by Paul in verse number 18, we see that God's wrath is against the foolish man. Look at, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Men, brothers and sisters, if we're living a life of degradation, if we're living a life of sin, we best to rest assured that God's wrath abides upon us now, John 3 and verse number 36. In verse number 19 and 20, we see that the foolish man is without excuse for his actions. Because what may be known of God is manifested, verse 19, in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Brothers and sisters, if we live a life of sin, there is no excuse that we can stand before God with and say to him, what are we going to tell God? If we are the ones who has the foolish attitude, what am I going to tell God that's going to justify me? Verses 21 and 22. Look at man. Man's sense of direction is distorted due to his lack of spiritual direction from God. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And that word fool is interesting. It carries the idea of losing their influence. Don't you know we can lose our influence if we live foolish lives? If we live lives that's full of debauchery and sin, when we live lives that are not congruent to God's word, when we live outside of the boundaries that God has set for mankind to live by. Don't you know whether or not you're in the church or outside of the church, God has a standard for all men to live by. And God forbid when a gospel preacher has the nerve to say that men outside of the church don't have to live by the standard that's found in God's word. If they don't, then why preach the gospel to them? Leave them alone. They're okay. But the reason why they're outside of the will of God, because they have transgressed the law of God, 1 John 3 and verse number 4. Therefore, we have an obligation to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. We have an obligation to tell the fool that says in his heart by his lifestyle there is no God that you can turn around if you would just repent. We have an obligation, brothers and sisters. Well, look at verse 23. In verse 23, we notice that Paul marks the one who practices idolatry as a fool and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Brothers and sisters, when you are marked by God as an idolater, that means you're worshiping someone or something other than the Almighty God. And what that is idolatry. Well, let me just go ahead and say this. For those of us who are members of the Lord's church, don't you know that we can be idolaters as well in the church? The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 5 that covetousness is idolatry. When we go out and we get more and more credit cards and the ones that we have are maxed out, brothers and sisters, we're not good stewards over that which God has blessed us with. When we put people before the Almighty God, whether it be our families, whether it be ourselves, whether it be that car that won't crank up in the morning, we're wrong in the eyesight of God. In Luke chapter 12, in verse number 20, there was a rich fool there. And God told him himself, thou fool, thy soul will be required of thee this night. Don't you know that when we covet and hoard and do those things that God will not have us to do, God looks at us as one who is an idolater. Yes, we can be idolaters even in the Lord's church today. And Paul reckons that man in Romans 1 as a fool. Well, when we look at Luke 12, and I just have to say this because I heard this from the late Johnny Ramsey, and he's 100% right. He said that this fool in Luke chapter 12 was so foolish that he coveted his own possessions. He already had it. It was already his. It was in his bank account already, and he coveted it. That's foolish, brothers and sisters. That is foolish when you covet something that's already yours. I really appreciated that when he said that. Brothers and sisters, we need to be more and more like God. We need to stop having the mind of the world. Paul says in Romans 12 in verse number 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look what he says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants us to look like him, not like the world. And the problem is that too many of us want to look like them and not look like God. Even our young folk want to look like hip-hop artists and all of that. But you need to be looking like God. I better stop because I'm out to preach in the morning. God wants us to look like his son. He wants us to be in the image of his son. And don't you know, God wants us to be just like his son, pure and holy. I'm reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God does not want us to have the foolish attitude. God wants us to have a holy attitude. Even when I sin, God wants me to look at my situation, analyze it, and then make corrections. Well, look at verse 24 through 27. Therefore, God also gave them up. And the original, he gave them up, is emphasized. He gave them up. Why? Because they gave up on him. Brothers, when we give up on God, those of us who have been baptized into Christ, Paul said in Galatians 3:27, we put on Christ, we array ourselves in Christ, we clothe ourselves with Christ. Let's not have the foolish attitude and give up on God. Let's stay with God. Because there's no safety outside of the realm of God. There's no salvation outside of Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10. And since all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 and verse number 3, are in Christ, if you leave the fold of Christ, you leave everything that is beneficial for you. Well, Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, basically homosexuality, lesbianism, sinful, foolish, and evil. Even though we may know some people like this, and our hearts go out to them, brothers and sisters, and we're not bashing people like that, but we are bashing the sin that is so easily besetting them. Even in the Lord's church ourselves, when we look at the Lord's church, even some of us are indulging in homosexuality and lesbian lifestyles. Brothers, God calls them fools. And it's important that we call things the way God calls them. God forbid if we was to call something that God didn't call it. I remember the days of Isaiah when they would call things good when God called it evil. If God calls it evil, we better call it evil. If God calls it good, we need to call it good. Well, this fool, he's fearless. He thinks that God is not going to hold him accountable for his actions. But I read somewhere in the Bible In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10 and 11. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer of the things that we have done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Then look what he says in verse number 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to persuade men to leave the foolish attitude of sin in their lives. Well, in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse number 12, even in the Old Testament, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish them who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Brothers and sisters, God has been consistent. The concern is, are we? Oh, let us not be fooled to think that God is mocked. He's not. Let us notice some characters of the fearless fool. Number one, he fails to take every thought captive, which leads him to destruction. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. He fails to worship God consistently and correctly. John 4, 23 and 24. He fails to treat men correctly because God is not partial. James 2 and verse 1 through 8. He fails to acknowledge God in all of his ways, Proverbs 3, 3 through 5. And lastly, we notice in verses 28 through 32, as the list of those who God calls fools. Why are they fools, brothers and sisters? Because God gave them over to a debased mind. Psalm 81 and verse number 11, but my people who will not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up to their own lust, to their heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Brothers, are we walking in our own counsel? I hope not. Look at verse number 29. They was filled with all unrighteousness. That word filled carries the idea to be filled to the full, meaning there's no room for righteousness. Brothers and sisters, when we're filled with unrighteousness, there's no room for righteousness. That's why we have to fill our minds with the word of God. And when we fill our minds with the word of God, number two, our focus will not be that of a fool. Let me hurry up because y'all need to get this. The focus of the fool is to please himself, to walk according to his own lust, to make mockery of the God that you and I serve. You know what? God forbid if we kind of just sit still and let people make mockery of God and just sit there. Time is out that we just sit on the pew as if man can say anything he wants to say in the pulpit and we just sit there. Well, Jude 18, there will be mockers in the last time who walk according to their own lusts. I like the way Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where's the promise of his coming? That is mockery. My God is going to send back the Savior, and he's not going to step foot on this earth. We're going to meet him in the air, the Bible tells us. And when men have the audacity to say that he's not, they're mocking my God. Lastly, as I close, the fate of the fool. The fate of the fool is twofold. Number one, to the one who does not repent, he will be condemned throughout eternity. That's one thing I love about God and his word. He doesn't just leave you there in a situation. He gives you hope. And in the world that we live in, full of fools in America, they need hope. They need to know that I can get out of adultery. I can get out of fornication. I can get off these drugs if I just go to God. Brothers, and we need powerful preaching that's going to show them that you can leave that sin, you can leave the degradation, and you can come back home. And the reason why we can say they can come back home, because all men were made in the image of God. Brothers and sisters, the other one is the one, the fool who repents and turns toward God. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the man that had his father's wife. One thing I love about that story, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible tells us that he repented. Don't you know everybody who turns away from God, don't stay out there. If we just be hopeful and just encourage them, they might come back. They might come back. But I think what happens, brother, we give up on people. they sin, they leave, and we count them off. Brothers and sisters, God didn't count us off. God didn't leave us out hanging. God gave us hope, and that hope is in Christ. Well, how do we not become fools? I'm going to really leave this for Brother Moore, who comes behind me, because he ought to be able to help us to see how the foolish attitude is really not the best way to go. Number one, we don't become fools, or we come out of a foolish attitude by guarding our hearts, for out of it spring the issues of life, Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It's vitally important that we fill our hearts with God's word. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Then he says in Psalm 119 and verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I like the way Brother Littlejohn at Fort Sam says, it is what guides and strengthens my life. Well, Paul said it like this: whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Brothers and sisters, we can help people to not become fools, or to become or come out of a foolish attitude by telling them what to study and showing them how to study and showing them how to apply God's word to their life. And lastly, we can stop becoming fools, or show people not to be fools, by showing them the way of Christ. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3 and verse number 2 to set our affections where Christ set it. And that's on the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's not dealing with the atheist per se, even though he's not excluded. But he's dealing with those whose lives are not in order with God's word.